How would you define the word integrity? Let me go ahead and give you a definition as we see it, a reference to Googling the thing. But if you Google the definition of integrity, what you'll get is a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Then there's a quote that says, he is known to be a man of integrity. Now, when we think about that word, most of us have an idea within our mind exactly what we think about when we think about the word integrity, or when somebody uses that in a sentence, or if they're talking to us. So let me ask you this. Who is someone that you know who is a person of great integrity, and how has that person influenced your life? Now, most of us, as I asked that question, probably had a name come to our mind or in our thoughts almost immediately. Somebody that you know of that fits that definition of integrity. Well, we live in a society today that defines things in different ways to the point where it changes the meanings around. So today we're going to actually look in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and see what it means to walk with integrity. So grab your Bible, turn to Proverbs 19, and we'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. Hopefully you had that chance to grab your Bible and go ahead and find Proverbs chapter 19, as we're going to look at what it means to walk with integrity, to be that person that has great moral value, to be that honest person in light of everything that you do. I've heard it mentioned before, and many of you probably have as well, that integrity is who you are even when nobody else is watching, simply because God is always watching. So let's go ahead and pick up in our text at Proverbs chapter 19, and we're actually going to begin, we're just going to read that whole chapter. It's 29 verses, so bear with me as we do that, but Proverbs chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. The foolishness of a man twists his ways, and his heart frets against the Lord. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend." Verse 5, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Now, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." Verse 9, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contention of a wife are a continual dripping. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Verse 15, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Verse 19, "A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What is desired in a man is kindness, And a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord lends to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. A lazy man buries his hands in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, I just want to come to you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact, Father, that you want us to walk with integrity. Father, I pray that today, as we continue a look at your word, that we will have a better understanding of integrity as defined by your word. Lord, may we truly be found walking in your word in such a way that we are pleasing to you. Help us, Father, in all that we do. Lord, where there's mistakes, Lord, where there are sins in our hearts and lives, I pray that the Holy Spirit will identify those, that we might confess them before you, that we may be able to walk with you with a clean and a pure heart. Lord, bless this, your messenger, for these moments as we get into your word. Lead us and guide us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you know, today in our text, the writer addresses the subject of personal integrity. Now, I've often said this, and I've heard it said, that integrity is something that we want in everybody else, but we sometimes we don't necessarily want it within ourselves. See, we want everybody else to have integrity when it comes to how they deal with us, but there are times when we often will allow our personal integrity to slip. Hopefully that's not you, but if it is, then the Holy Spirit's going to identify that in your life today as we've taken this opportunity to get into His Word. Now, again, the writer is addressing the subject of personal integrity along with some other topics as we went through this particular chapter. Now, do you agree that it is better to be a poor person who walks with integrity than a rich man who is crooked and foolish? Okay, notice what that verse 1 said. That verse 1 said to us, it says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I mean, the word just outright calls that type of a person a fool, a person who walks without integrity. Okay, so do you agree that it is better not to have so many things, but to have your integrity and be intact? Or do you think that it's better to have all the stuff in the world and be able to gain it by whatever means necessary, even if it means doing bad things to other people or lying in certain types of situations that you might come out on top? Now, as I ask you that question, most people would not say, oh, yes, it's better for me to be, you know, wealthy and advanced by whatever means than to walk with personal integrity. Well, most of us would outrightly answer that question correctly, but what is in your heart? As you determine that today, as the Holy Spirit convicts you, what is in your heart? Every one of us have had opportunities to come by something, whether it's personal gain or something that we wanted by less than stellar methods that do not shine forth our integrity or who we are in the Lord. You know, I always grew up with a phrase, and I think that it still holds true today, that a person's only as good as their word. What is it that you're telling people? You know, are you backing up what you say to other people? Do the things that you do and how you do them reflect that you are a child of the King, that you are part of the body of Christ? Or when people look at you, they sit back and say, you know, that person claims to be a Christian, but they're one of the most crooked people that I've ever seen in my life. I hope and pray that's not what they say about you. Now, you know, why is it that people often get angry with God when they ruin their lives by their own foolish choices. Now, you, maybe even you today, as you listen to this, you've found yourself angry with God in a certain situation that whatever took place that maybe caused you some ruin. I want us to look at verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 19. It says, "The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord." Notice it says foolishness, and that's talking about those who are not walking in integrity, those who are not walking uprightly. And it says that it basically just calls them fools, okay? And then what happens is when things don't work out our way, when punishment comes for us having less than stellar integrity, when things happen to us, we get mad. But often what happens is we wind up getting mad at God. You know, it's like, well, Lord, why did you put me in this situation? Why are these things the things that are taking place? And why are these the things that are going on? And deep down in your own heart, you know the answer to that question. You know that you didn't do things right. You know, I think we just get to the point where so often people do not take responsibility for their own actions. And I think that's a big point. You know, why does personal integrity involve taking responsibility for your own choices and your own actions? Well, that means that you own it. I can't tell you how many times that I've sat around the counseling table with folks and they're like, "Hey, I want you to tell me what a good quick fix for this situation is." And my response is, "No, based on what you've learned and based on what the Lord is telling you, you tell me what the fix for it is. You tell me what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do." And the reason why I don't want to be the person to lay out this particular plan along the way is because if it doesn't work, whose fault is it? "Well, I tried what the preacher said and it didn't work out, so it's all his fault." You cannot allow yourself the latitude to blame other people. Folks, it is time to take responsibility for our choices and responsibility for our actions. I have said in counseling many times, if none of us are perfect, if we would own our piece of the pie where things went wrong, if we would stand up and say, "Yeah, this is what I did. I messed up. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to be there again," then you can make some headway and you can make some progress along the way. I've also said that I would just like for somebody to come into my office one day and say, "Hey, look, man, I'm just completely all messed up. My mom and daddy were great to me. You know, my spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend have been great to me. My life is otherwise perfect. I'm just the one who just completely messed things up." Most people don't do that. Well, folks, before you can ever correct something, you first have to confess where it is. I've said before, if you want to know where you're going, you may have a vision of where you want to go, but you have to first understand where you are. I've said many times, if I took you out, blindfolded you, and drove you around for 4 days, and then, you know, opened the car door and let you out and said, "You need to get home," one of the first things you have to find out in regard to being able to get home is you have to find out where you are. You know, you have to know what direction to travel, and you can't know that till you understand where you are. Is the Holy Spirit convicting your life right now about the areas of personal responsibility and about personal integrity? So personal integrity does involve taking responsibility for the choices and the actions that you have made. We're a generation and a society that likes to blame everybody else for the problems that we have. Folks, look, if the Holy Spirit has told you that this is on you, then own it, confess it, repent from it, and then he can do some great things in your life as you move forward. Now, the writer also says some things about false witnesses and one who speaks with lies. Now, remember, we're talking about integrity. Look at verse 5 with me. Verse 5 says this. It says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape." You know, are you telling lies about other people? Are you doing that so that you might look better? Are you doing that to try to destroy them? Also down in verse 9, he says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish." You know, the word tells us that we're not supposed to lie. If we are walking with the master, then we should not be telling, you know, stories, whether they are to make us look better or whether they are to make someone else look bad. That is not personal integrity. You know, how many times have we, you know, tried to blame somebody else for a deficiency within our life? And the main reason to do that is so that we look better. "Oh, it wasn't my fault. If it was me, then it wouldn't have turned out this way." Well, we got to stop doing that. that, you know, when all along it truly was your fault. You know, it is far better to maintain your integrity than to speak a lie for the purpose of dishonest gain. Yeah, let me say that again. It is far better to maintain your integrity than to speak a lie for the purpose of dishonest gain. You know, and most of you right now, the Holy Spirit's already put illustrations before you. I don't have to bring them up. There are things that you have seen in your life, whether it's been somebody else or maybe even you who have done those things. The Holy Spirit's pointing those things out to you today. The question is, what will you do with them? You know, lying, folks, is a major character flaw. Remember we said, it's better to maintain your integrity than to speak a lie for the purpose of dishonest gain. So if you lie, then that is a character flaw. And it's interesting enough that I know some people in my life that they would rather tell a lie than eat. You do too. Every one of us know that. There are times that the lies have been so far-fetched. And another thing too, because of you and I knowing about how those people are, we have a hard time believing in just about anything that they really say because they have that track record of telling stories or lying. And that is a major, major character flaw. I hope and pray it's not one that you have, but if it is, may you listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. May you repent of that, and the Lord will forgive you. You can have a new start. The question is, will you do that? Or are you going to be mad at God? Are you going to try to blame somebody else for what's taking place in your life, which is what most people generally do who are walking in the world today? Okay. Now, the writer also says something else to each and every one of us, and he talks about being slow to anger. Look with me at verse 11. It says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now, a lot of people don't like that verse because there's a couple of things in the way that it breaks down. It says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. What is it that makes you slow to anger? Maybe you're sitting back saying, well, I'm not slow to anger. That's one of my character flaws at this particular point. You know, how can you do that? It is having discretion, godly discretion. So the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. But I love the last part of verse 11. It says, and his glory, meaning the man's glory, his glory is to overlook a transgression. Man, I want to tell you, in this society today, it is very, very difficult for people to overlook a transgression that has been committed against them. We want to hold people accountable. We want to hold them responsible, and we want to hold their feet to the fire when they have a transgression that is against us. But the Word of God tells us we're not supposed to do that. The Word of God says that you and I are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, I know I'm not the only person when it comes down to saying this. The Lord has forgiven me of much. He expects me to forgive much. In the same way that the Lord forgives me, He expects me to be forgiving of others. In fact, He actually tells us in Matthew chapter 7, He says, judge not lest ye be judged. He's talking about how we judge other people. And He says, in the following verses in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, He says, if you're going to judge people harshly, if that's a standard that you feel like is okay to use, then He says, then I'll just use that same standard against you. And I've said this 1,000 times. I need all the help I can get. And if you're honest with yourself, most each and every one of us do as well. So we need to be slow to anger. We need to have patience, and we need to be able to overlook transgressions that happen against us. The writer also tells us that, what does he say about overlooking that transgression in verse 11? It says, and his glory is to overlook those transgressions. We will be glorious when we have that opportunity to do that. And when we can get to that point where we can do that honestly, and we can do that truly, not just giving it lip service, meaning that we're going to say that, but when we can truly forgive from our heart. I've said there's a difference between being able to forgive from our lips and to forgive from our heart. You know, so we can say we've forgiven somebody, but never really done that deep inside of our heart. So the lips and the heart need to correspond when it comes time to forgiving and being able to see God's glory. Now, as we talked about those things, how would you evaluate yourself in those two areas? Now, what two areas are you talking about? How slow are you to anger? And how forgiving are you? How are you, as verse 11 says, how are you at overlooking the transgressions of others? You know, how do you rate in that area? In all honesty, I've asked this question to many people before, and the answer I get most often is people say, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 5, which means that sometimes they're pretty good at it and sometimes they're not, based on their own admissions. Well, 50% is not a passing grade. So we need to work on that. If the Holy Spirit has put that in your heart and in your mind today, then that's something that you need to deal with Him about. You need to go to Him with all honesty and all integrity and be able to say, Lord, I'm not doing really well in this area and I need your help. Help me to be able to look at all circumstances like I look at the 50% of them along the way. Now, as we've done our Bible studies, I've always asked you, as we've done them, to look for an example that you can follow. So as an example to follow, you know, the writer tells us something about being generous or being kind to the poor. Down in verse 17, it says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Now, that's a really interesting comment. So what do you think it means to lend to the Lord? Now, I've often said this. We have to understand that everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we do comes from God. It is all His provision for us, which means everything belongs to Him. Now, sometimes God taps us out to utilize His resources in somebody else's life. Now, at this particular point, I'm talking about monetary type things, but obviously this goes far beyond the monetary. Maybe the Lord is telling us we need to help this poor person, that we need to be kind to them, and that we need to step up and fulfill a need. And the Lord has tapped us out to do that. Now, when the Lord does that, do you sit back and say, oh, this is money I could use for this, or this is, you know, money that I had for that? Or are you willing to be generous to lend to the Lord that which is His anyway? You know, so what do you think it means to lend to the Lord? That means that He is deciding that He wants to utilize through you something that is already His in regard to helping out with the poor, or being kind, not only kind, but being able to meet some practical needs in a practical and a spiritual way. The Word also tells us that when you see somebody, you know, who is hungry along the way, don't just tell them, hey, go with God, all is right with the world, and go away from them hungry. One of the things you'll always notice is that every single time Jesus met the physical needs of the people that He came in contact with. And I will make you this promise. You will never, ever outgive the Lord. I promise you that. Let me give you an example. Let me go back to verse 17 for a minute. It says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and He will pay back what He has given. You cannot outgive the Lord. If you are faithful and obedient to follow what He has said, He will find a way to give that back to you, and usually even more. You know, I've said that when it comes down to giving, particularly when it talks about the tithe over in Malachi chapter 3, that is one of those things where the Lord, it's the only place I know of in the Word of God where the Lord says, try me. You try me on the tithe and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you cannot even, that you can't even comprehend. There's times I've tried that. I've said, you know, the Lord, Lord has given and I have lent to the Lord. He has put me in a position and said, this is what I want you to do. And I have taken, and I'm going to use a financial case where I have taken the finances that the Lord gave me. And yeah, I could have said, well, this was for this, or I had this plan for that. I was faithful and obedient to do what it was that that the Lord asked me to do. And then the next thing you know, not only does he give it back to me in some way, shape, form, or fashion, often it's given back to me monetarily, not only exactly what he asked me to do, but more. You cannot outgive God. So let me ask, in what ways do you regularly show kindness and generosity to those that are less fortunate than you are? Now notice what I said, in what ways do you regularly show kindness and generosity to those that are less fortunate than you? You know, it's easy to go out there and have a heart, you know, once. It's easy to see somebody in a circumstance or a situation and then you take care of that circumstance or situation. But how is that a part of your life? You know, what are you doing to utilize all of the blessings that God has given you and all the provision that he has given you in the life of somebody less fortunate? Now, according to the writer of Proverbs, it is good for us to listen to advice and to accept instruction from others. Now, I want to put a caveat in there. That means wise, godly counsel. You don't want to go to somebody who doesn't have wise, godly counsel and listen to instruction from them, because they're going to give you poor instruction. How do I know that? You have observed their life and you have come to the conclusion that they're not making good, godly, wise decisions. You don't go ask advice from those people. Okay, you go to the people who you see that you almost envy their walk with the Lord. You almost envy their integrity. You almost envy the things in which they do. Now, what does the Lord tell us about listening to the advice and accepting instruction from others? Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days, okay? That you might grow from that you might gain wisdom. Verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand, okay? You know, we think up all kinds of things that we want to do, but the question is it what God wants us to do? Now, let me carry you also over to verse 27. It says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. That is plain and simple. You don't have to have a theology degree to understand that. It says in verse 27 that if you cease from listening to wise and godly counsel and you cease to listen to their instruction, you will stray from the words of knowledge. It's going to happen, whether you want it to or not, if you do not stay connected. I love the passage in the Word where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bring forth fruit. Okay? Now, I want to share with you a verse out of Proverbs chapter 15. It's actually verse 22. And I want you to think about what happens when we fail to listen to the advice of others. And when I talk about others, I mean wise counsel. So Proverbs 15, 22 tells us this. Proverbs 15, 22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And that doesn't mean just one, a multitude of counselors. Listen to those in your life that the Lord has placed in your life to be good, godly counsel. And it says, you follow that, things will be good. If you don't follow that counsel, verse 22 of chapter 15 of Proverbs tells us that plans will go awry. That means that it is going to happen. We just stray. We just have that tendency by which to do that. Now, I want to also give you another passage. It's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, and we see a promise to claim. Remember, one of the things I've also asked you to look for are promises to claim when we go through our Bible studies. And there's a promise to claim in here. It's given you to the one who walks in integrity. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 tells us this. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You know, you can even be a blessing to your children when you walk in integrity. Once again, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Man, what a joy that is, just to think that that you could do some things that will trickle down, I'll use that term, to even be a blessing to your children, okay? Now, as you think about that, when we're talking about personal integrity, in what ways is your very own personal integrity, or lack thereof, a reflection of your faith in Christ? You know, when people see you, I will tell you this, even lost people know how believers should walk and how believers should talk and how they should function within business affairs and those sort of things. So when it comes to your personal integrity and how other people see you, you know, whether you have good personal integrity or maybe you're lacking in it, the one thing I can promise you is that it, whether you have it or whether you don't, it is a reflection of your faith in Christ. If you don't have it, people look at you and they know you are not walking with the Lord, because this is not what the Lord would have a Christian to do. If you do have it, then they will sit back and say, you know what, sometimes I would struggle if I was in their case, but that right there shows how they believe in the Christ whom they profess and confess. So it's a great personal testimony as well to those around you in your life. If yours is not that good, if your personal integrity is not that good, how can you grow in this area? The Holy Spirit's given you some insight on that right now. What is it that the Holy Spirit's telling you that you need to do to exhibit some growth in the areas of personal integrity within your life? Now, what we need to do as a group of believers is that we need to pray that each of us will walk daily with great personal integrity. I didn't just say personal integrity, but great personal integrity. That those that are around us would see it, that those that are around us would know it, that those that are around us would trust us, that they would love us. And that most of all, they would see the fact that we are representing a Savior and we're representing Him well in such a fashion that they want to come to know Him. So we're going to have that prayer in just a moment. What I want to give you this week is our Bible readings for this week. And this week, we're actually going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 22 through Proverbs chapter 24. I know that's only two, but hey, sometimes they get a little bit long, but just work on those two, Proverbs 22 through Proverbs 24. And next week we will discuss the drunkard and the glutton out of Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 through 35. Would you look to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, as we come to you, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, above all, to walk daily with not only godly integrity, but Lord, that we would walk with great godly integrity, that we would truly be a reflection of who you are in our lives. That, Lord, when people see us, they will see your word, the Bible itself, come to life. For Father, we know that even those who are not your children understand how your children should walk. So, Lord, I pray that we would check ourselves today, that the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, that we will give heed to what the Spirit says to us. That, Lord, if there's correction in areas of our integrity, that you would lead us to the resolution of those and give us strength and courage to follow them. And Lord, I pray that if we're just having a tough time and we're struggling with it, that you would give strength to those who are struggling with this in their life today. Father, for those who are representing you well, I pray that you will just pour out an extra portion of your grace and blessing upon them during this time. Help us, Father, to truly walk in your word, and we'll be careful to praise you as we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining us for the weekly Bible study, the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be visiting in our area, if you don't have a church, we would love for you to come by and worship with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services start at 10:45. We would love to have you join us, and I'll be looking for you. I'll be praying for you, and I ask that you pray for me that each and every one of us will walk daily with the great integrity that God has given us. God bless you. Have a great week.